This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we're talking about Agatha All Along.
Pineapple. Agatha All Along.
Don't sing the song.
Good old WandaVision. We talked about WandaVision a couple of years ago.
3.5 years ago, I think.
3.5. That's very odd. It was a brand new era of Marvel shows that we're getting into, and WandaVision. We didn't like the show as many people did, but I'm glad people found enjoyment out of that show. I was very disappointed that the show wrapped up on a very strange note, and now we've gotten to a spin-off of a spin-off called Agatha All Along, which is the villain of WandaVision. And I gotta say, at first I was very skeptical of why we gain a show personally that I thought wasn't a really good villain.
It's weird because, I mean, I agree. I will say that WandaVision is better on a rewatch for me. I did rewatch it before Multiverse of Madness, and I was like, you know what? This is actually a little bit better than I gave it credit for. However, I think the worst part of that show was, for me, Agatha. I just didn't like that reveal. I didn't like what that did to the themes of the show, to Wanda's character arc, and it just kind of became two people shooting lasers at each other. That's not a new take or anything like that, but it's definitely, that's what it was by the end of it. So if there was any show that I was less excited for, it was Agatha All Along, which I was just like, why are we making this show? I'm sure that I've even said it on the podcast. What is the point of this? It's just a spin-off. They're trying to capitalize on this meme. They're really out of ideas. And all of that still might be true. But this show was awesome. I had a great time. This was exactly what I kind of wanted it to be. I didn't really know what I wanted it to be, but everything that I could have wanted, this campy, witchy, spooky valley, it's things the MCU has never been. And I just have so much love for it. And, you know, it's not perfect. And I know a lot of people who immediately haven't watched it because they don't like Agatha, because they're not interested in the show. But for the people who have watched it and have loved it, I think this show will become like a cornerstone of importance for the MCU. We got a great show over here.
Yeah, we got a great show. I am one of those people who were like, oh God, why do we have a show about a character that I wasn't really excited for? You told me about Agatha a long time and you were like, you gotta watch it, man. Trust me, trust me. So I trusted you and I say, yeah, I agree. This was pretty fun. I kind of missed the MCU having its fun moments and exploring new things. Here we have something that is very character driven, very strong in sense of like who we're following in the story with Agatha. She's not a hero. She is a very flawed character, but something that we understand. I also agree that it isn't perfect by any means, but I had some fun with it. And was I disappointed? Yeah, it's a show. It's a show. Yeah.
It feels like it does break free of the formula because there isn't a single part of this that I felt, oh yeah, we've seen this before. It did kind of do new things. And apparently it's one of the cheapest Marvel shows purely because of its sheer level of practicality. And you really feel that. Everything feels just constructed enough. Like The Witch's Road, which is where we spend most of our time, it feels like a set, it feels like a soundstage, but that kind of works. It kind of fits into this low budget B-movie kind of Halloween-esque vibe. We've got this set and we're going to run around the same forest and the same road for a little bit. I thought that really worked. And Agatha in WandaVision is just kind of a cackling, conniving witch who just wants power. And Catherine Hahn is fantastic. There's a reason why the character was so popular coming off WandaVision. Much of that is because of her. But here you really, as you say, you get a different level to her character, this tragedy. We're not quite in spoilers yet, but in episode 9 gives you her tragic backstory. And I thought it was really heartbreaking. It's not classically wicked. It's not evil like you would expect from a witch like Agatha. It is properly tragic and it does make you see things in a different light. There are two particular elements of this show. Just thinking about it makes me really excited. And we'll get to there in spoilers, but there are two elements of this show that I think are going going to absolutely make a rewatch of this brilliant to experience. The show kind of has the same structure as WandaVision, especially with the episode where it's like, here's this character's origin story that we got for Monica in WandaVision episode 4, I think. But I really think that it feels like the show has learned from WandaVision's mistakes.
Yeah.
It's also written by Jack Schaefer, who did this and I think also worked on Black Widow as well. If that is true, you can definitely see her downfall as a writer is the way that she writes endings. Again, we will get into that, but yeah, I think you can feel that it's learned from its mistakes. We get a similar shock reveal. I mean, it's not really a shock. If you knew, you knew, but by revealing the villain, by revealing these elements, we never lose anything. I felt like in WandaVision, we were losing stuff from that show, but in this show, it makes it more interesting what they reveal. And what we get at the beginning and what we get at the end feels consistent. They never kind of peter off into something completely
irrelevant completely different. To the story.
Yeah.
That's how WandaVision felt like. We were focusing on such a fascinating story with Wanda and how she wanted to have this perfect life with Vision, and it becomes very psychological. Episode 3 in WandaVision is a very good example of that, how you can see her mental state deteriorating. And I think Jack Schaefer learned a lot from that, how we can incorporate horror in this world of The Road. And I thought The Road was just so fascinating to see with the practicality of the sets. It does feel like you're watching the stage play. You know, it's like very imaginative. And I think that was the highlight for me to explore that. And I think it's fun on rewatch in terms of like you see the different characters, like how they interact as well. Especially Lilia. I want to rewatch because of her, how she has an impact on the story itself. We will get into spoilers about that. One of my favorite episodes in that story. Characterization is on point in this, like how we explore those.
I'm with you. Episode 7. I'm so giddy thinking about it because I finished episode 7 and I was like, what the visible? That was so great. But seriously, the great thing about the show is that it's a really, really tight cast of characters. There's literally 6 of them. When you have a show that has too many characters or a film, it begins to buckle under the weight of all that it's trying to do, and you can't really do all these characters justice. But here, we absolutely do get to do them all justice. I feel like each episode, each member of Agatha's coven gets their episode to shine and their moment to be explored as we go further and further along the road, and this idea of what did they want. And it's great because you have a lot of actors with a background in comedy or a background in theater, and they're having fun. It's queer as hell, and that in itself just feels so much more alive than a lot of other MCU things, especially some of the recent TV shows. I loved Echo, I loved Loki, but when you think about Secret Invasion or Moon Knight, sometimes it can just feel like people reading the scripts. But this one, it felt like there was a lot more room to breathe, and I felt it was really funny and really exciting. There's an episode where this is episode 7, where they end up all dressed as different witch like characters. So Agatha is Elphaba from Wicked and Wizard of Oz, and Lilia is Galinda, and Teen is Maleficent, and Jen is the witch from Snow White. It was really fun because we don't need to have them all dress up and be really over the top and ridiculous, but they are. Back in 2022, we covered Thor Love and Thunder, and we really complained about the queer baiting in the marketing and how that amounted to nothing in the film itself. And I know that it's that classic thing of being queer baited by Marvel, you know, it's like losing chess to a dog. But I would love for these massive franchises to represent more than just the straight hegemony, and I feel like this is finally what we've been waiting and wanting for from the MCU. I mean, it's crazy that after 16 years they can still surprise me, and all the representation, all the talk of the show's gayness in the marketing, I was like, no, it's gonna be more queer bait. But it wasn't. It was genuine, it was real, it felt powerful. It reminded me of Eternals and how they handled that as well. You know, there are a couple of kisses in this show that I thought were really sweet and really powerfully done. And there's a casualness to the way that the queerness is represented. It's not like, everyone, I have something to tell you. It's like, you know, yeah, I had a fling with Aubrey Plaza. It's like, yeah, cool. I feel like the way that everyone acts, it's so theatrical. And so this show is made for the gays. And I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it as well. You know, you get to see actors just having fun, really. What makes this show so real is they want to have fun with it. Like Teen, for example, he's got a boyfriend and they played it so casual. I feel like that's a really good way to like understand them. And it's really wholesome as well. And there was a line, if you want straight answers, ask a straight lady. And it's like those lines as well from Catherine Han. So yeah, the show reflects about how to go on this road, you need to explore yourself, you know, like who you are, and you've got to make the road. That's in spoilers as well. But anyway, that was a nice way to understand characters. Like, hell yeah, we're having fun.
Yeah, it was, especially after Agatha kind of became a bit of a queer icon after WandaVision. They could have very easily been like, oh yeah, never mind. Boy, if I had a penny for every time that that happened in some sort of franchise where these people are like, oh, so you're gay, right? And the next movie, it's like, and here's their very straight relationship. It's constantly frustrating, but this show doesn't fall into that. And just based on that alone, I had so much love for this show. But the fact that it went beyond that, and the fact that it was genuinely great and genuinely emotional and had some brilliant set pieces. We have 9 episodes to play with. It's not trapped in 6 episodes or less. It was a really nice number, and each episode you get to have a different set piece, a different element to explore, and that was already great. But as I said, it's not perfect. I think the one thing that I can get into about my criticisms that isn't spoilery is I just think that pretty much everything that came out of Teen's mouth is the worst. It's that classic issue.
Yeah, it's very insufferable, kind of ruins some key moments in the story. However, after a particular point in the story, the dialogue becomes very minimal from him. There isn't much to cringe at, to be honest, like some stuff that he says, because it feels very out of the blue. It enforces something in the writing, and it feels like, would someone say that? I don't know. Maybe that's just to reflect his personality. Maybe. Yeah.
I do think he gets better. I think you're right on that. But it screams adult writer not knowing how to write teenage characters.
Gen Z.
Yeah,
writing,
exactly.
Guys.
Yeah. And there were many times that I kind of roll my eyes, and comedy is hit or miss. I think a lot of MCU things, I just roll my eyes at the comedy. But I think this mostly, it does hit that kind of campy queer niche that hits for me. And as well, I know that we're talking about this a week after it finished, but it was releasing in October and the spooky vibes are all over.
Spooky.
And much like how WandaVision played with sitcom tropes, here we are playing with spooky, campy tropes and vibes. There's an episode where they're all stuck in a house and they're very much like rich housewives. And another one, as I said, they're all playing different witches. And in another one, they're kind of like in a rock band, and it's brilliant. And there's this song that goes throughout the show called Down the Witch's Road, which is a banger.
It's a banger. But the thing is, though, it comes up every time in the story, and I'm like, okay, I get it. But they play the full song every time it's played, and it's like, down the witch's road. I get it.
That's because you were binging it. That's your problem.
Okay. That's a petty one. I have been binge watching it, so it was just very funny. It was just popped up. I'm like, I get it. I just want to. I cannot escape it. The voices again louder.
No, seriously. Again, we will get into it, I promise. But the way that song came full circle in episode 9, I was just floored by how good it was. I really enjoyed that. It kind of feels like, we are taking it to the next level of WandaVision. We start the show with like a kind of generic detective thing. And, you know, Catherine Hahn's playing this no-nonsense cop. She's got some brilliantly cheesy dialogue. And I was like, yeah, that's really fun. But then once we move out of that, it's like, okay, this is what I came to see. This is like witches, magic. It's campy. I thought it was really, really enjoyable, all of that show. But it's interesting because obviously we're bringing back Westview. We're bringing back characters from WandaVision. We got Mrs. Hart back as well. It feels like a spiritual successor to WandaVision. Great. But it's been 3.5 years. I don't think it's nearly as exciting as it would have been if this show came out in like 2022. And it's that thing where like the MCU, they went for it. They went so intense that it was like, hold on, what about this or that or that? Like this year alone, we've had Echo and Agatha, sequels to Hawkeye and WandaVision, but they've come in years later. And I wish I could say at least Marvel is slowing down. But if you look at their 2025 output, bloody hell. 3 movies, 3 live action shows, 3 animated shows, like, have we learned nothing? The great thing about Agatha was that we didn't have anything since Deadpool. Then it was like, boom, here's something fun for October. Here's something different. Whereas next year it's going to be like, okay, everyone, so Ironheart finished and there's Fantastic Four next week. And then if you wait a little bit longer, we've got Wonder Man. And it's just like, wow, they got it right. And now they're getting it wrong again.
Yeah, that was the reason why I didn't want to watch Agatha along, but I had to talk about it on the podcast. But if I were a normal viewer, right? If I want to watch the Marvel shows, it becomes exhausting. I agree about your statement when we watched Deadpool and Wolverine. It became so exhausting to follow up with this multiversal thing. And I don't think Marvel has stopped that. There's more than 20 films and you have to go through that and all of it.
I think there's more than 30 films at this point.
Well, 30 or, you know, TV shows, and it becomes, at this point, you just need to watch a YouTube video and all the lore and the guide. So it's very difficult, I gotta say. And it's been such a long time since WandaVision, and how do we keep up with that? that.
Where's also, Vision? Vision flew away. Yeah, Vision just left. Where's he gone? Yeah. It's been four years. And
then all different storylines as well, with like the Marvels. That was linked up by WandaVision as well with Monica. It's so frustrating when you hear all the other projects. I'm like, oh God, how much do we need to know? Like, why do we need more?
Yeah. Just wait, because next year I'm going to make you watch all of the original Daredevil series before Born Again so we can do it on the podcast, which is a great thing to do. That's going to take a long time.
I can't argue on that, because I have watched a few episodes in that, but I got caught up by other things to watch and other things to read and other things to play.
Too many bloody things. But I would genuinely say that this is the MCU's most consistent year since Endgame. And that is only because there's been three things. If there was more, I'm sure that this year would also begin to become less exciting. But I loved Echo. I loved Agatha. I thought Deadpool was fine, but like none of them have been terrible. None of them have been amazing, but they've all been fun in their own ways. And a lot of people disagree on that, and that's fine. But it has been valuable to have a year where we've had less on. And so for them to kind of go straight back next year is like, it's a complete misunderstanding of a lot of stuff. But let's talk about spoilers.
The natural progression of the road was just fascinating because it reminded of Dante's Circle of Hell, like how we progressed through the story. But in terms of the road, I think the road is a fantastic symbolism for the rest of the characters as well. For Agatha, because the road never existed until Billy manifested it. That was a good twist. I like that one. And the world building was done in a seamless way to figure out the progression and what exactly is going on. And one of my favorite characters in this story was Ilya. She is one of the most fascinating characters, especially in episode 7. That was one of the best things to explore a character in the non-linear structure. I loved it. It gave me Heaven Sent vibes. That's what it is. It just gave me that, like, that magic. It was like, oh my God, welcome back, Heaven Sent. Welcome back. my God, that was such a treat to watch. I was like figuring out what's going on. But then the puzzles come into place. This time jumble plot that's going on.
That episode was so brilliantly structured. And there were enough hints throughout the season. Obviously, Patti LuPone does a brilliant performance as well. And it was just really exciting to watch as she figured out what's been going on with her, and slowly we begin to unpack this mystery of her jumping through her own timeline to eventually save everyone using the tarot cards. I thought it was really clever and really exciting, and it's just fun when a story does something like that with time. We got a little bit of it in Loki as well. I really enjoyed to see her finally taking her place and sacrificing herself, but her life also becomes a circle, and so like she's back to the beginning, and that's just so interesting to think about.
And the symbolism for that as well, for the tarot reading, is a shuffle. So the shuffle, it's...
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, because like obviously the big things that are the twists, in air quotes, because everyone knew that Teen was Billy Maximoff. Everyone knew that Aubrey Plaza was going to be Death. But the much better twists in this one are what they do with Lilia's character and also what they do with Agatha as well. Her origin story showing her losing her son to Death, which is just such a beautiful thing. Death isn't really a villain. She's just like, I'm Death and I need to collect. And that's just how it works. Agatha loses her son purely because her son should have died in childbirth. And she's like, I want more time. Just please give me more time. She made a deal with Death, basically. That to me is so fascinating. I love the idea that Death is just natural. And that's what this show is just kind of like, Death kind of has to happen. There's a moment where Billy is like, oh, did I kill the witches? And Agatha's like, well, no, like, I would have killed them anyway. And it's this idea of once you introduce Death into this world as a physical manifestation, we begin to think, does that mean that Death can be cheated and stuff? But no, Death is always there. I love that idea. And the way that they show Agatha throughout the years, we have this montage where they're singing The Witch's Road again, John's favorite song. And they every time her and her covens are wearing different outfits, we kind of see some of like the 1800s and then like the 30s or the 40s and then kind of like early 2000s. And then eventually with the coven that we see in this show, you see the moment at the beginning of the show where she says, oh, well, you guys aren't a bunch of witches, and then the floor opens. And it's brilliant because it recontextualizes everything. The whole time is a question of, is Agatha a good person or a bad person? And I think pretty obviously she is a bad person who has been shaped by this tragic event. And I love how that eventually leads her to her whole sacrifice. But I think the one thing, the big thing didn't work about this series for me, and this is kind of that Jack Schaefer issue of finales. I didn't dislike the finale. You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
The ghost. Agatha the ghost. The ghost. Was just weird.
Why? Okay, so I loved everything the show was building upon towards the end. Episode 8 had that, you knew it was going to be ending. You know, like, oh, this is like the all is lost. You know, like, okay, this is what the characters learned. This is the perilous journey. I gotta say, we could have seen Death's relationship with Agatha. I think that is so compelling. What is the conflict between that? Like, we could have seen more of that. And why does Death have some sort of interpersonal conflict with Agatha? Anything that was interesting to explore. However, the finale just goes to a different direction and just like, Agatha's a ghost, just like, oh, episode 8 was like really strong doing the plot twist, but then I like the recontextualizing everything about the Witch's Road and how Agatha is such a terrible person. Those final moments, it just felt like it was so open-ended. Why do we need to include this? And now it feel like there was nothing to wrap up. It just felt like it was just, okay guys, we're going to season 2.
I don't even think that that is set up for season 2. I think that they're going to branch off into maybe like a Wiccan. There's nothing has been confirmed, but a lot of people think that Wiccan's going to be happening. I think Young Avengers feels inevitable. Even again, not confirmed. So I think we are going to see these characters again. Obviously, Billy is looking for Tommy in some respect. But you're right. It does just feel really strange. We could have delved deeper. There's a moment when Death is sitting on top of Agatha's house. The bottom half of her face is a skull, which is fantastic. I mean, that is practical. Again, practical, the prosthetics look brilliant. And she's cackling away like the Wicked Witch of the West. And I was just sitting there like, yes, we're going full witch. They have a little like laser battle. It doesn't last for too long, which was really nice. And then, you know, they're all kind of being like, well, only one of you can live. And, you know, it was really, really interesting. And they cut that short. And that is such a shame because, like you said, recontextualizing everything is really cool. But I would have much preferred that than, like, Agatha as a ghost, which, again, I know what they're going for. They're playing on those tropes. Theoretically, it works. But, like, she's wearing a terrible wig. The whole, like, effect of her being there but not being there, it doesn't look very good. It was just a really big shame. Because I think that, you know, you kill the character, she goes through some sort of arc, she sacrifices herself, and that's that. Just like how I didn't like Agatha in WandaVision, but I liked her in this show, maybe the next thing they will improve upon her again, and they will take on that criticism. I hope they do. But it just felt like a really strange, out of place thing to do.
Yeah, when... it felt like a side quest. And it, again, that's a very strange thing for Billy to like, I just want to banish GF now. That's it.
Yeah.
There was that emotional moment when Billy says, is this what happened to Nicholas, Agatha's son? And again, that was an emotional investment to like, oh, okay. And I think they could have had Billy talk to Death in episode 9 rather than relying on the ghost.
Yeah, here. Have Billy and Death talk, I think is a really great idea. Billy has had a lot of experience with Death. Yeah, him losing Agatha is another in a long line. And just like Wanda, he expresses his grief over the losses in his life through creating this reality, creating the road. And he could talk to Death about that, but they don't go into that. And if they do make a Wiccan show, we need to unpack that. We need to go deeper into that aspect because here it was just like, oh my God, I created the road and here's Agatha as a ghost. It just felt so tacked on. You know, it didn't ruin the show by any means. It didn't make me say, oh, this was a terrible show, terrible finale. It was just like a bizarre choice.
It felt very disconnected from the whole storyline that we were focusing on. That is a very strange choice to go from there. Such a wrapped up thing, you know, with Wiccan contemplating this path that they all went on and it cost a few lives. Sharon. We miss Sharon. R.I.P. Sharon. For what cost? She wasn't a witch.
And she died and for what?
Also, I have some criticism about the story. Like, I wish we got given more time for the opening of how Agatha gets her coven. It felt like, okay, let's do that. Let's get people. And he just joined instantly, which to me was like, okay, what's the real conflict behind this? But it's kind of hard, like, okay, whoa, that was a bit quick. They got her cover and that was sorted.
I do think it's 9 episodes is better than 6 any day. But once again, here we are, and this show needs more episodes. I agree with you. You could absolutely have made just an episode out of collecting the coven. Potentially, that's what they should have done. And it's that timeless streaming thing where it's like, 9 episodes isn't enough. Go to 12 for a show.
It was 22 episodes again.
Yes. Yeah, for a show like this, that would be the best. I mean, She-Hulk was the other show that got 22 episodes, and that show really, really could have utilized 22, even though that would have been demanding with the CGI of the actual character. I just think that we got to change our practices here. I think Daredevil, Born Again, is also 12.
Please.
Or maybe 9, I don't know. It was announced as 18, so I think they might have split that into 2 and it's now just 9. But
9,
it's just like, at what point does Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, Pixar realize and admit that I think Disney Plus needs to change? The way that they are making these shows needs to drastically alter or just give up, because you can't keep on making shows that are really expensive, that run for about 6, 7, 8 weeks, and if it's something like The Acolyte, cancel it almost immediately. Don't even let it grow an audience. Agatha is a step in the right direction because of how cheap it was and how good it looks for how cheap it is. But we can't keep on doing this, and I don't think they should. I think we're going to need to see how it's... I think Daredevil is going to be great. I'm really hoping that Ironheart is really great. I have no expectations of a Wonder Man, but I also hope it's great. I feel like we do need to shift something in the way that these shows are being made.
That's the troublesome thing with Disney Plus. It's like, apart from some shows that they actually have a passion behind it, you know, with Acolyte, with Andor, Loki, it's the length of the show that needs to reconsider. Okay, The Flash. The Flash season 1, that has more than 20 episodes and does that phenomenally well. And the reason why that show worked because of how much we get to see different storylines in each episode. And if we had more time, maybe more episodes, like maybe some mini arcs as well, like Andor did, that's a brilliant way to build up on your world and how much impact the characters have.
Yeah, it feels like two things happened at once. Number one is people started to complain about quote unquote filler, which again, filler does not exist. And on the other hand, people started to really get into limited series. And so I feel like to combat that, a lot of companies were like, okay, we're going to make shows more expensive, but we're also going to make less of it. But you lose a lot of that important character building. You lose a lot of that important hangout time. Agatha could have been 2 or 3 episodes longer and fleshed out that beginning section and that end section. And that is incredibly important. And I feel like then it would have ran for a little bit longer too. If people are getting their Disney Plus subscriptions to watch Agatha, they would have been paying longer. You know, think about this from a business perspective.
Mm.
It would have created more longevity. And if that made the show better, then you would have had more interest. The Acolyte is a show that I adore, but it needed to be longer. That's the big criticism of that show. Should have maybe been double the length. And so many shows suffer from this. One of the best shows on Disney Plus has been The Bad Batch, and obviously that's animated, and so therefore they go for that shorter episodes, longer seasons, but that has so much great stuff, and so much of it is what some people would consider to be filler, but it's bloody brilliant. It doesn't matter it's not all about like the big parts of the series, the big stakes, the overarching story. It's character building, and it's super, super, super important. It's all part of that kind of TV conundrum that we're living through, and next year is going to be oppressive. Like I said earlier, we got 3 live action MCU shows. We've got 3 animated MCU shows. We've got Skeleton Crew and or who knows what else, maybe some animated stuff. It's going to be intense. It's going to be really, really full on.
Intense.
You know, but at the same time, I think we're hopefully experiencing the last elements of that first wave of Disney Plus shows. And now maybe hopefully they will change their practices.
Yeah, they need to reconsider a lot of things.
Okay, so Agatha All Along, what are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Nice, yeah. I'm going to give it an 8.
We kind of messed up on the Zoom call so far. We just can't...
I think things are still lagging out, but it's fine. It gives the video character.
Yes, the nonlinear thing. Imagine there's like a podcast that does like a nonlinear thing to tell stories.
Oh my God, wait, say something really quirky now.
Pineapple.
I'm going to put that at the beginning of the video, and then at the end of the video, we come full circle, and it's just pineapple.
Subtle foreshadowing.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow it and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, John, the video will echo in eternity. It's Gladiator 2.
Oh my God. I don't know what to expect. Yes, you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod. See our incredible thumbnails from Zane Nasbol, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels, and you can find links that are all in the description below. Thanks to LJN Smith for the excellent theme, and Roland Phillips as well, as always. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.